I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
4-3, Washington winning tonight against the Buffalo Sabres. We welcome you back here to KeyBank Center in the press box. Brian Colzio with you on the Paul William Belts postgame show. Well, the Sabres with a late push get a goal from Tage Thompson in the final 2 minutes and try to put some more pressure on to tie things up. Come up one goal short in a 4-3 loss. Coming up here in just a matter of moments, we'll be heading down to the locker room area and hear the Sabre player reaction on the Zoom call. We'll also get Don Granato's postgame comments a little bit later on with his press conference. Paul Hamilton's take here coming up in a moment. All the necessary highlights and scores from around the NHL all coming your way here as we roll on here from KeyBank Center as the Sabres lose in regulation for the second straight night. After losing last night to New Jersey by a 6-3 score. Buffalo's next game is on Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia against the Flyers at 2 p.m. We'll look ahead to that game a little bit later on. But let's get the postgame going here. Paul Hamilton, as I said, coming up here in just one moment. Final shot totals ending up tied 33-33 in the game. Both teams 0 for the night on the power play. The Caps just had one crack at it, 0-for-1. The Sabres 0-of-3. Vitek Vanacek gets the win. 33 shots, 30 saves. Dustin Tokarski takes the loss. 33 shots, 29 saves. The three stars, Mittelstadt with a goal, star number 3. Ovechkin with a goal and an assist, star number 2. And just a goal, rather. And Schultz, Justin Schultz, that is, with a goal and 2 assists. He is star number 1. Your three stars are brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Okay, we're going to head to the room here in a moment, but let's get a couple of thoughts from Paul Hamilton. Paul, the game fairly even. The shots were exactly the same, 33 apiece. I know I read one of your final tweets there was that at the end of this game, maybe it was just the better goaltender was wearing the white uniform instead of the royal blue.
Yeah, that's what it amounted to. You need saves on the goals by Dillon and Schultz. The goaltender saw both of them. He's not screened on either one. They're from distance. You got to have saves on both those. You have saves on those. We're talking about a whole different game here. Now, the Sabres had their lulls in the game. In the third period, they had to wait for Verona to make it 4-2 before they woke up. And then I thought in the last 11 minutes, they put a real good push on, as you said, and you know, wound up scoring a goal and had some other good chances. With the goaltender pulled there, I love the way that they won battles. They really were battling 6-on-5 with that goaltender pulled. A couple times they had lost the puck, but they battled to get it back. And I thought that was fairly impressive, the way they worked. They worked very hard to try to get that tying goal. They did get one goal out of it, but unfortunately for them, they were down by 2, and they couldn't get a second one.
Paul, the goals that come from the Sabres are all, I guess I would say, earned. I don't know if that's, you know, that's maybe too easy to say, but no lucky bounces, no puck luck, no dumb ricochet or anything. Like, the one in the first is a great setup from Dahlin and then a nice shot from Jokiharju. The second one comes from Asplund winning a battle behind the net to find Mittelstadt. And then the third one, Sabres keep pressing and then Thompson going to the net. I know that's something you've been asking them to do all year, so for the three tallies, they're at least goals that you all like to see.
Thompson has goals in consecutive games. Why? Because he's right where goals are scored. The first one was a rebound on a power play that he got the rebound, and it came right to him because he was in perfect position to accept that rebound. And this one here, he goes to the net, sees Ristolainen shooting. Ristolainen wouldn't surprise me if he was going for that stick. And he winds up tipping it in.
4-3 Washington victorious. And we'll get more from Paul in a moment. But let's now head down to the live Zoom call and hear from one of the Buffalo goal scorers. Here's Casey Mittelstadt live on the postgame.
And your game has been, you know, this season.
I don't know. I think I just had some time to grow up. Yeah, I think that's more than anything. I don't know if it's so much on the ice as off the ice, getting myself ready to play, taking care of my body away from the rink. And, yeah, I think that all leads. I think you get in what you put out, and obviously just trying to get better at that. And I think it's part of just growing up.
Casey, just Tage in the last week or so, he's become a guy, you know, he's starting to score, he's starting to get very noticeable out there, just getting a lot of chances. Just what have you seen maybe change from Tage that's made him so dangerous?
Yeah, I mean, he's such a big body, he protects the puck so well, and as his line mates, I think being Aspie, we want him to shoot the puck, he's got a missile, and so many times you get a good shot and then it leads to a weird bounce, comes right back to you, and then you get a shift in the O zone. So I don't know. I don't know if there's one particular thing. I think we've all seen it from Tomer, and he's been playing super well. And it's been nice. We've gotten in some sort of a rhythm, getting to play with each other. And obviously he's helped me out a lot.
Casey, of course there were some mistakes in the game, but I thought, especially the three goals that you guys scored, you earned all three of those goals by hard work. And take me to your goal, how Schultz, I don't even think Asplund's going to come to him, and the hard work he puts in, and then you go to the net. And it seemed like all three goals were similar in that sense that you guys worked and then got the goal.
Yeah, I think it's something we've been emphasizing is just getting more pucks to the net and getting harder on the forecheck, putting pressure on people's D and trying to get pucks back. And obviously, Aspie did a great job there. He pulled the puck away and made a great pass to me. And my job wasn't so hard, just made a little move and sat in that. And like I said, it was a great play by Aspie to go pick the puck and find me.
Casey, midway through the first period, you skated around Schultz and you protected the puck and got that backhanded shot off. I saw you were looking at the scoreboard, probably thinking about what you could have done differently there. But, I mean, just in my opinion, a couple of years ago, maybe you tried to cut inside instead of taking it outside. I mean, is that just another sign of maybe one of those smarter plays? You just learn how to handle it better as you learn, you know, the game in the NHL?
Yeah, I think I kind of touched on it with Tage, just getting a rhythm and feeling the puck. I've had the puck so much more this year. And when you make two or three good plays in a row, then all of a sudden you feel good, you're going, you're playing well, and then you're just using your instincts. And that's all that was. I think I saw him kind of backed up to the middle, so a little flat-footed, and had my chance. And obviously we'd like to see it go in, but it's good to get a chance early and get your legs under.
Obviously, NHL debut for R2. What have you noticed about him either tonight or in the previous couple days here with the team?
I thought he played well tonight. Obviously, it's hard to come in and play the Caps in your first game. Such an old and veteran team, and they play good structure. And like you guys said, you gotta work hard to score against them. So I thought he played well. I mean, he's strong. He's a little stocky guy and makes good plays with the puck, and he's got silky hands. And especially, I guess I haven't seen him too much since he's been here, but in training camp, he was making plays the whole time. And he's got a sneaky good wrister. And yeah, I think he'll keep building, and obviously he'll get some confidence and make some good plays.
Casey, forgive me if you've already answered this. I just got in here, but kind of had a couple of games in a row where you had a slow start. So what's it going to take for you guys to kind of get off to those faster starts? I know you scored first yesterday, but just seems like overall the first period's kind of, you know, been against you here the last couple of games.
Yeah, I think, for sure. You kind of nailed it on the head. I think it's just a matter of getting into our game right away. I think there's some games where our first 10 minutes, we kind of hang back a little bit and kind of let them come at us. And then once they kind of kick us in the teeth, then we get mad and we kick them back. And yeah, obviously we want to be the ones to do that first and set the pace of the game. And we definitely have the speed and the skill to do that. So it's going to have to be an area of focus for us for sure.
Thank you, Casey.
Thanks.
Okay, there is Sabre forward Casey Mittelstadt, part of our Blue and Gold Locker Report here on the post game. And the more and more we keep hearing from Casey Mittelstadt, the more and more I'm convinced that he's hit a spot of maturity, of professionalism that is so much different than what we've heard before. I'll chat more with Paul about this in a little bit here, but let's go back to the room now and continue our interviews. Here's Arttu Ruostolainen here on his NHL debut tonight.
A little bit, yeah. But I think it's normal, like first big game for me. And yeah, it took a couple of shifts and I was feeling a little bit more comfortable.
Arttu, what was that solo lap like to begin warm-ups and, you know, throughout the day? I mean, did you call family? I mean, what were the emotions like leading up to this one?
Yeah, it was exciting. I think it was a pretty big thing for me and my family. And yeah, it's like a dream come true moment for me. So it was huge.
Okay, we're going to go to Bill here.
Arttu, did you have family watching back home in Finland? What did they do for the game?
Yeah, I think they were watching the game, and yeah, at least they say that they will. Yeah, I think they watch the game.
What did you think of your game? Did you like the way you played, or do you think you could have played better, or how do you feel that you played?
Yeah, obviously it wasn't my best game, but I think it was like okay start for NHL games, and yeah, I think it was like good lesson for me what it takes to play against one of the top teams in the league, and how you can succeed on the ice, and what you have to do there to make some good plays, and yeah.
Thank you, Arttu.
Thanks.
There's Arttu Ruostolainen, his debut, pretty solid, I would say, overall. 4-3 Washington victorious. Back here in the press box, Brian Colziel and Paul Hamilton on our Paul William Peltz Sabres post-game show. We're going to have more from the room here in just one moment, including Sabres head coach Don Granato. I don't know if we are going to hear any more from the players at any point here, but Paul, I don't know if you want to get a quick comment in on Ruostolainen here on his debut. What did you think? Anything stand out?
Yeah, we are done with the players, by the way. They're waiting for I like the skating. His skating's like night and day from when he showed up here a couple of years ago. He's real, and he's talked about it. He's worked on it, and it's obvious. I mean, and it's not just the speed. The speed is there too, but left to right, he's shiftier, he's faster, and he plays faster. And it's really noticeable from when he first showed up here a couple of years ago.
Okay, good thoughts there, Paul. Okay, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to take a break and say goodbye to you. We'll talk to you Sunday at 2 with the Sabres and the Flyers. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. For all of you on our flagship here in Buffalo, more postgame coming up, including Don Granato, more from Paul, highlights and scores from around the league. Final again here from KeyBank Center, Washington 4, Buffalo 3. I'm Brian Colziel. More postgame coming up. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Chara from the point with a shot and the rebound is there. Ovechkin got a stick on a save made by Tokarski on Alexander Ovechkin, who had a chance at a rebound.
Dustin Tokarski there faced 33 shots, made 29 saves. That one is the save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. Great deals are waiting for you now at your local Upstate Honda dealer. Welcome back here to the postgame. Brian Colziel with you. 4-3 Caps. Let's get to our goal of the game now. They're brought to you by Roswell Park, the designated cancer center of the Buffalo Sabres, urging men to get a second opinion at Roswell Park when they hear the words, "You have cancer." Well, here's the game winner, 9:48 into period three. A nice play by Schultz to set up Verana.
Sent down to the corner, TJ Oshie got a piece of it. Eller plays it back to the line. Drop to the far dot. One-timer scores. Make no mistake with that goal by the Capitals. And Verana buries it to put the Caps up 4-2.
Verana's 11th from Schultz and Eller. That at 9:48. 4-2 Capitals. That's your game winner. All of our moments and highlights on the broadcast, they're brought to you by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. Final shot totals in the game, 33-33. Both teams 0 for the night of the power play. Your three stars, Mittelstadt is 3, Ovechkin is 2, and Schultz is 1. So we get to our spotlight review now, brought to you by Jim's Steakout. No need to lace up for great food. Get it delivered. Visit jimsteakout.com. The spotlight tonight is on Alex Ovechkin. He has a goal, had an assist on the goal that was taken off the board. Was named second star, but Paul, I know he scored on a dump off of Dahlin, but I think the Sabres overall did a decent job on him tonight.
I mean, that's the heavy shot that you wind up getting a rebound on, the one that got overturned by Kuznetsov. He does that. I mean, yeah, it's a huge rebound that Tokarski leaves out there, but That's what he's done his whole career, and that's how goals are scored because of him, because of that heavy shot that he has that goaltenders can't control rebounds with. But, yeah, pretty much he was under control. He wasn't really what beat them. There were some defensive lapses by the Sabres, yes. I mean, it wasn't a perfect game by any means, but, you know, I thought for the most part they worked hard. They had a lull to start the third period, and I thought, here we go again. They had two shots in the third period last game, and they've got three in the first 9 minutes of this one. But by the time the period ended, they wound up with 12. And as I said, after the Verana goal, that's really when they started working. And they really started coming forward and getting some shots on goal. As they only had three shots at that point, wound up getting nine more. As they applied pressure, they did get a goal to make it 4-3 because of the hard work that they were doing. They continued to do that. There were times in that schmozzle near the end, in the final minute to the final 30 seconds, where the Caps looked like they were going to get the puck and get rid of it and get it down ice, but every player on the ice worked hard to go get the puck back. It's like, all right, let's go get it back. And, yeah, the Caps did send it down ice a few times but got called for icing, but there were numerous times where I thought hard work allowed the Sabres to get the puck back and not allow the Caps to throw it down ice.
Speaking of working hard here, good transition into our time to get connected with our fans feature, brought to you by Nextiva by Premcom, the official telephone system provider of the Buffalo Bills and Sabres. Chuck just sending in a tweet asking about Asplin Paul, just saying that loves how hard he is working, won that battle to set up Mittelstadt for the goal. He needs to play the rest of the season. I know right now the Sabres are down forwards, Paul, with Hall being scratched and the other injuries, so I guess Asplin would have a chance to play. And I guess you'd agree with Chuck. You'd want to see him play the rest of the year. I know I do too.
Yeah, a huge mistake by Kruger to the way it went down. I understand, as I told you earlier, Johan Larson, I didn't want them to re-sign him, not because I think Johan Larson's a bad player or the Zemgus Girgensons is a bad player, only because they've really been entrenched in the losing, and it has to wear on them. And I just think it's time for a change. You've done this so long with the same guys. And then you bring in Cody Eakin. Well, you've gutted your hockey department. There's nobody there to tell Kruger Cody Eakin's not a good idea at all. He hasn't had a decent season in a couple of years. And, you know, they wound up getting him when they have the guy right in their organization. Asplund's put in his time. He's a better player than when he showed up from Sweden. And he's put his time in Rochester. He's ready to play. It's so obvious. You could have had, instead of spending 2 points, two or three, whatever it is, on Cody Eakin, you could have had him for $700,000. So you have cost control. You're not quite as tight up against the cap. You're not sitting there going, we got Eakin for another year. What are we going to do with that? So that's another contract noose around your neck. And to me, it was a pretty obvious choice, but it wasn't to Ralph Kruger.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's look at our NHL standings now, brought to you by Dash's Markets. Shop the family of finer foods at Dash's Markets. Well, Washington with the win moves into a tie with the Islanders in first place, 56-56, and then the Penguins with 54. All three of those teams now have played 41 games, so 15 games left. Paul, it's going to be a fun finish to see how those three finish, Washington, the Islanders, and Pittsburgh. And I don't know if winning the division even gives you advantage, because then you got to play Boston, who I don't, you know, they have four games in hand. They could be in that point total there just by making up those games. I mean, there's no easy outs if these are the four teams that come out of the East.
Well, the players have said it. There's no home team advantage. You know, a few fans are showing up now, and maybe if more fans start getting into buildings, there is. But it's basically like playing on the road no matter where you are, and I've heard numerous players say that as this has gone on. Some of them said it before any fans were in any buildings, but still. So I think, and even when there are fans, I think it's been proven in the NHL the last X amount of years that home ice advantage isn't that big of a deal. Road teams are winning and winning regularly in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, you know, I think one of the things is Pittsburgh probably has the inside edge on everything because they play the Sabres more than the Islanders and the Capitals do. The Capitals only have one more game against the Sabres, and the Islanders, I believe, have two, where the Penguins have four.
Yeah, you said it, that you thought, especially during that 18-game winless streak, Paul, that the Sabres would have an impact on who finishes where and who makes it and who wins the division, because it was, for a while there, an automatic 2 points against the Sabres. Now, I don't think either of us are saying here now that it's an impossible 2 points, but it's maybe a little harder with how they're
playing. It is harder.
Now.
It is harder. Yeah. And don't count the Bruins out either. They got six games left against the Sabres. So, you know, the Sabres, and with all the winning that they're doing, they weren't doing it against these teams. Now, the New York Rangers have been very well.
That's right. Okay, Paul, thank you. We'll get one final thought from Paul after we hear from Sabres interim head coach Don Granato as we take you there live here on the postgame.
I don't like the last couple of results, but over the last 2 weeks here, you and your staff have really started to get a lot out of guys, young guys who couldn't stay in the lineup earlier this year, like Casey, Tage, Henry, Rasmus, or not Rasmus, Dahlin, but some other guys. How happy are you that they've been able to kind of find that next level?
Extremely happy. I mean, that's a priority. It will remain a priority simply because their ceiling is so high and we need to become a better team. That was the obvious, when I stepped in, and the other obvious was the guys with the highest ceiling. We needed to move toward that. And so I'm very, very pleased with not only that progress, but the effort and focus they've had in regard. They've been incredible, all of them.
Don, what have you liked about Casey playing center, the growth that you've seen from him the last 2 weeks that really encourages you to keep him there, you know, moving forward?
Yeah, his competitive level, his competitiveness is number one. You know, that's a, because of the level we're at, that was the one that needed to raise his competitive level. He's done it. He has made that step, and now his skill is seen. And, you know, you knew he was a skilled player, obviously following him through his amateur career, a highly skilled player, highly skilled world junior player. And now you jump up to this level, and it's a competitive environment. There's no weak link to take advantage of, and he's become the competitor that he needs to.
Thanks.
Don, I know there's parts of this game that you don't like. I would say you earned all three of the goals that you got with hard work. And after they made it 4-2, I thought you guys worked extremely hard after that to get pucks back and to do things. So was it kind of a tale of two games where there was some good work done, but there were other parts of the game that you didn't like?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I would say there were more parts, especially coming off last night's game, which was so disappointing, I think, for everybody. Number one, the effort had to be better tonight. We had that. I was happy to see that players had that bad taste in their mouth. So, you know, in the preparation, the meeting this morning, the mood was quiet but very businesslike. And they, you know, the sense that I got from them was they wanted a little bit of redemption in tonight. And the only thing you can control is your effort and your resolve. And we showed both, despite trailing early and trailing, you know, late, kept fighting all the way to the end. So that was the underlying theme. And you're not going to get better if you don't compete that hard. You're just not going to get better. You'll stay the same. And we cannot afford to stay the same. So we pushed it hard in that regard. The outcome being a loss, we're certain, you know, it's not happy. We're not happy about that. But the other components were where they should be.
Coach, it seems like the first period's been kind of your kryptonite the last couple of games. Even the game you won, I think it still gave up a couple goals in the first period. Just what is it that's causing you guys to fall behind? And I mean, even this morning you said that the early goal last night was actually something you didn't like necessarily because of the way that it kind of relaxed your guys. So what is it that's causing this early, you know, surge by the other team, but also how can you fix it?
Yeah, I don't connect the two last night and tonight. And you mentioned it's only been two games. So last night was two penalty kill goals or power play goals against in the first period, if I'm right, if my memory serves me. So we had a penalty kill issue in the first period yesterday. And today they had a shot off of Dahlin, ricochet off of Dahlin. Credit to them. I mean, you got a guy that scored as many goals as Alex Ovechkin, just throw a puck to the net. He knows that's how goals are scored. It went off us. So, but that said, I don't think we had mistakes. We gave up by our count, by our video coaches, four chances in the first period. So I wasn't disappointed with our first period in with respect to that. It's a heck of a team over there. They came in and they played. They worked hard. They were adamant about getting 2 points, which is exactly what we want. We need a team to give us their best, and that's our hope. We hope we play everybody's best game because I thought our guys did what they needed to do within that context to become a better hockey team and a better players. So, but the scoring, you're right. The scoring we didn't like at the end of the first either night.
Sorry. Yeah, hey there. What stood out to you about R2's debut tonight?
R2 was ready. He was ready. He's trained hard. He's, you know, obviously dreamed and visualized being an NHL, be playing in the NHL. He fit in natural. There was, if there was any nerves, he didn't show. He was businesslike, dialed in, had a very good sense of objective, and he is a competitor. And that is really exciting to see anytime you can add an ultra competitor in the lineup. He's proven that. So very good first game for him.
Don, what stood out to you about Tage over the last week or so? He's becoming a guy who, you know, he's getting his chances every game and he's starting to really, you know, show up on the score sheet.
The nice thing is you can only push a guy in accordance with his confidence. You know, you're the coach, you're in a position of, you know, leverage, authority, whatever. So it's, the other team is pushing the player. You know, he lines up, he's lining up against an NHL player, you know, an accomplished NHL player. So they're getting pushed by them. They're getting pushed by the pace of the league. So if the player's not confident and you start pushing them on the other side, they may break. And you know, that's when everybody says, wow, doesn't look confident. So with Tage, he's at a point now where he can be pushed and pushed hard. And we've pushed him and he's responding. You know, we pushed him, you know, with clips today and said, you can be better and you need to be better in these areas. And he was tonight. He shot the puck more. He had a much better drive than that focus. And again, that's the difference. You can now push him harder because he's settled into kind of the NHL pace.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah. Good night, guys.
Okay, there's Sabres interim head coach Don Granato. His post-game press conference brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. Let's get a final thought here from Paul Hamilton before we say goodbye to him. Paul, Don Granato talking about the younger players, whether it's Mittelstadt or Asplund or Thompson and even a little Ruustalainen here for the first time. If there's one thing that Granato's going to get credit for here as since he's taken over, Paul, has been, as he said, the high ceilings of these young players. We're starting to see some of those ceilings that fans had envisioned when the Sabres drafted these players.
Yeah, and even how he formed a line, Mittelstadt, Asplund, and Thompson, some fans may not realize that's a line that played together in Rochester and did very well together. So they are familiar with each other. They're teammates with each other. They were friends down there. They did things that was before COVID that they played down there together. And they did things together outside of the arena. So I think Granato recognized that and thought, you know, why not? As we've mentioned the last couple of games, he's here to try things. So why not try that? It worked in Rochester. They're all here. They're all NHL players now. Let's see what that looks like. And I think it's looked really good, to be quite honest with you. So just little things like that to, you know, Mittelstadt. Well, we were told by the last coach that Mittelstadt is not an NHL center. He's going to be a winger. I quite honestly had my doubts he was even an NHL player. And you know, and I'm the one who always bangs the drum. You got to wait and see if those guys are ready. And I gave up on Mittelstadt a little bit too soon. And because he has moved to center and is now showing why he was drafted where he was drafted. And you know, if he keeps going like this, does have a bright future in the National Hockey League.
Paul, thank you. Enjoy what is supposed to be an 83-degree Saturday. 83-degree Saturday.
And don't forget the trade deadline. I know I'll be on in the Instigators at some point, and it's a long day, but it's a fun day. It's one of those fun long days. We'll get our first trade deadline with Kevin Adams.
That's right. Hope for all the people working the Sabres that tomorrow at like noon they don't have massive trades where you have to come inside and work or something like that. But that's sometimes how it works, unfortunately. But yes. Flyers Sunday afternoon, and then the trade deadline Monday, and then Buffalo will play again on Tuesday after that. So that's the schedule for the next few days. Paul, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too. Take care.
Okay, Paul Hamilton here. We'll talk to Paul Sunday on the pregame at 1 with the Sabres and the Philadelphia Flyers. 4-3 Washington is our score here tonight. Buffalo found themselves down 2-0 in the first period after Dillon and Ovechkin had scored, and then Dahlin sets up Joki Haru for a goal before the end of the first to make it 2-1. Then Schultz early in the second makes it 3-1, but a real nice play. Asplund winning a battle, setting up Mittelstadt to make it a 3-2 game heading to the third. Then Verana gets the game winner, 9:48 into the third, to make it 4-2. Buffalo did score late with the goalie pulled on a redirect from Tage Thompson to make it a 4-3 game, and that ended up being your final score. Speaking of scores, we want to get our final check of the rest of the night as well as the sports world as we do our drive around the NHL final time here with Jonathan Koziel.
Thank you, Brian. This drive around the NHL is brought to you by Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. In the third period, the Blues blowing out the Wild 7-1. Jaden Schwartz and Ryan O'Reilly with 2 goals each in that one for St. Louis. 2 games just getting started at 10 o'clock in Las Vegas. It's the Coyotes and Golden Knights. Vegas up 2-0 early in that one. And the Avalanche are in Anaheim taking on the Ducks. That one is scoreless. Coming up at 10:30 in San Jose, it's the Sharks hosting the Kings. Some finals from the early games tonight. Penguins with a 6-4 win over the Devils. Ryan Rust scoring twice for Pittsburgh in that one. And the Rangers win 4-1 over the Islanders with the loss. And the Capitals win tonight here in Buffalo. The Isles and Caps are now tied at the top of the East Division. Both teams with the exact same record of 26-11-4. To the Masters, Justin Rose holds on to his day one lead into the weekend, posting a 7-under through 2 days of play. Will Zalatoris and Brian Harman sitting one back of Rose at 6-under par. Some big names still in contention going into the weekend. Jordan Spieth is 2 back at 5-under. Justin Thomas, Tony Finau, and Hideki Matsuyama are among the group of 6 at 4-under par. And last year's winner, Dustin Johnson, will be watching the rest of the weekend as he misses the cut, finishing with 5-over par. Johnson not the only notable player to not play this weekend in Augusta. Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, and Daniel Berger among some of the other top players in the world that are headed home early. Ian Poulter and Paul Casey first off the tees on Saturday at 9:40 a.m. And a little quiz question for you, Brian, Mr. Golf. 12 reigning champs failed to make the cut the next year at the Masters. 2 of them happened within the last 5 years. Can you name them?
Okay, well, DJ, obviously, this year.
That does not count.
Oh, 2 more.
Yes. Pat, you can get into it if you'd like.
What's the time frame?
Within the last 5 years, not including Dustin.
Tiger did make the cut last year after he was defending.
So there's two other reigning champs that did not make the Cup next year within the last 5 years.
Within the last 5 years. Well, I'll go Willett.
Willett was right in 2016 win, missing the cut in 2016.
I know when Spieth won, he did win. He made it the next year because he blew up.
Finished second.
He let Willett sneak in after he had that terrible 12th hole. One more. Recently.
Sergio, great.
Sergio was right. And that was in back-to-back years, 2016 and 2017.
Yep. Sergio beat who in the playoff? Who's winning?
Justin Rose.
So maybe this will be the year Rose gets it.
It's odd because you don't think that, like, you know, the top player would win 1 year and miss 12 times. It's happened, and three times in the last 6 years now, basically, you know, counting this tournament.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
When it's a smaller field of about 80-some players, 10 or so of those are those longtime older champions that are just there almost to be there for the ceremonial piece of it. So you really have, like, 70 players for like 50 spots, so it's an easier cut to make.
How about Bernard Langer?
I know.
Every year just plays well at that course.
That's right. Yeah, Fred Couples usually does too. He didn't make the cut though this year, but you're right, Langer has been amazing. So if you want more golf, tomorrow, shameless plug here, 7 to 9, 2-hour Masters show, tee to green, tomorrow here on WGR. So
get some sleep.
That's right. I have to get up early. 7 a.m. on the air, Pat. I know you'll be listening at 7.
Always.
You're in the middle of your morning workout at that point, so you can just throw them in your earbuds at that point at 7 o'clock. You're about an hour into your run at that point.
You know me too well. Yeah.
That's right. TJ usually, though, starts his run at 5 a.m., so he's got you beat. You got to start. Got to work a little harder, right, TJ?
That's right. Except I'm not waking up in the morning at 5 a.m. That's
you just
me,
go
that's
right
my,
through
nighttime run before I go to bed.
That's right. Yes, he's on a little different schedule.
I'm with TJ. I'm the night owl too. Waking up on the weekend like that is just not.
All right, well, good. You can listen to seven to nine and then go to bed at 9 a.m.
I got an 11:15 tee time tomorrow too, so I'll have to miss some of the Masters tomorrow.
That's all right.
Maybe I'll catch the last 10 minutes.
83 is acceptable to play golf tomorrow for sure. No doubt.
I'll definitely throw it on right before I head off to sleep for sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the support, all of you. Appreciate
it is my first round out, Pat. Obviously, I think you haven't been out yet.
No. Nope.
Brian's been out like 6 times in the last week. So
I don't know if you guys noticed they turned the lights out on us
again
last night with about 10 minutes left in postgame. They literally cut the lights in the entire building. Like, it was pitch black. Here they dim the lights.
That's a
signal that maybe we're giving themselves too much. I'm giving myself too much credit that they're actually listening to the postgame. But if they are, this is probably their cue to say, okay, boys, that's enough. That's right. We want to go home. So let's go home. Okay, TJ, that's your cue to play the music here so we can go home. Thank you, TJ. TJ Luckman, our network producer, doing a great job as always. Crew here, Pat Mollicaro, Jonathan Koziel, Paul Hamilton a little bit down the road here on the press box, working hard as always. Thanks to all those guys. Our pregame show host was the Bulldog. Our game announcers were Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Koziel. I thank you for listening. Final again, Washington 4, Buffalo 3. And as far as the Sabres broadcast go, I'll talk to you Sunday at 2, 1 o'clock pregame. Sabres and Flyers right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everybody.